Okay, there we go. The Lord speaks to us today in the Gospel of Matthew. If you please turn your Bibles there. And I'd like to explain a little bit that we've touched on already in terms of its context. But the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, we'll be reading verses 1 through 11. So as you're turning there, Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, let me highlight two things that Matthew is doing here. We've already read the book of Zechariah chapter 9, and he quotes from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, so I want to draw that to your attention. Most of your Bibles should have some kind of indenting or something that makes it obvious he's quoting. Well, here actually Matthew is more explicit. But he also quotes Psalm 118, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So notice those two things as we read the text. That'll be important as we listen to the Lord as he speaks to us. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly, and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, please bless this, your reading of the Word. Glorify yourself as you reveal it to us today. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts and help us to be enlightened and understand and moved to serve you more and sing out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest to the Son of David, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved, what would it be like if our country was occupied by a foreign nation? If you looked out the windows as we worshiped here now and you saw soldiers passing by observing us. This was the experience of Jerusalem for hundreds of years leading into the time of Christ, the time of our text today. First, they were taken over by Babylon. And then the Medes and Persians. Next, the Grecian great. And finally, the Roman Empire in our text today. The Jews at this point have no sovereignty. They have no power of their own. They were no longer the grand kingdom of David and Solomon. And God seemed to have completely given up on them because of their great sins against him. In some ways, does this not sound or feel like what it is to be a Christian? To be the church in the United States today compared to more golden years. Well, in our text, as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, it was a public, kingly procession, received earnestly by multitudes who longed for the Messiah to save them. So today, may you also cry out to Jesus Christ the King of glory, to save you from all oppression. So I'd like you to take with you, cry out to Jesus Christ, the King of glory, to save you from all oppression. Now, the Jews were anxious for the Messiah to rescue them from Roman oppression. Look at verses 8 and 9. A very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" They surrounded him with fanfare and cries. In verse 9, they say, "Hosanna." Hosanna is a very important word being used here. Strictly, it's a cry expressing an appeal for divine help. Save! Help, we pray! In a liturgical usage, it's a shout of praise and worship. Hosanna! We praise you. Well, Hosanna, in this verse, Matthew is preserving the Hebrew of Psalm 118. Hosanna is very similar to the name for Joshua in the Old Testament in Hebrew, and the name of Jesus, Yeshua, means to save, save us. Now, if you look at our Old Testament English Bibles, you won't see Hosanna. Usually, you'll see the words save us, something like that. In our Psalter that we just sang, you saw that they preserved Hosanna. And that's what Matthew is doing here. He doesn't translate Hosanna to the Greek. He leaves it Hosanna in the Hebrew for save now. Rather than translating it, he leaves it save now. Matthew here keeps the Hebrew Hosanna. Let me read Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26, which is being quoted here in verse 9. "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord." But of course, Matthew leaves it. "Hosanna, I beseech thee, O Lord. Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Of course, that's what they're saying as he rides into Jerusalem. Calvin says that the design of Matthew here in this verse was to quote in Hebrew Hosanna, a well-known psalm, for the purpose of showing that Christ was acknowledged by the multitude to be a redeemer. He was the one who would save them. They understood this. Think of Nazi occupation in World War II. Over France, there were shortages of food that led to malnutrition with the children, especially the children and the elderly. And men were forced to work in Germany against their will. Over Poland, teachers were imprisoned, and there was Nazi propaganda and censorship. Over Hungary, hundreds were murdered for sheltering the Jews. And 400,000 Hungarian Jews were murdered during the Holocaust. Imagine in such a state how occupation and oppression by a foreign nation would cause men, women, and children to cry out to be saved. Beloved, the spirit of the Antichrist occupies and oppresses the church throughout the ages, from Genesis onward, since the fall, biting at the heel of Christ. Paul says in Ephesians 6, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." In our country, the spirit of the Antichrist is advancing in our schools, in the government, in our culture, and even in the church. You can see it. You can feel it. Do you not cry out to Jesus to save our nation on behalf of the church as you look around? Well, as Jesus entered Jerusalem, the Jews hailed him as the king who would rescue their land. Look at verse 9. the multitudes cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Notice they call Jesus, riding in on this lowly donkey, they call him the Son of David. That's an important term they're calling him. The Son of David is a messianic name. It's about the king, the messianic king who would come and finally save the people. And they're calling Jesus the Son of David. Don't miss who they see he is. And they're waiting for him and they're crying out for him. Think about in John chapter 6. Jesus, the people try to make Jesus king for his healings and for feeding the thousands. They try to make him king then. There's this frenzy going on. There's this energy and excitement. And that's what's happening in our text today. Look at verse 10. "And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?'" Verse 10. Who is this? Who is this? Everyone was watching what was going on, and they said, "Who is this? Who is this?" Do you ask this question of Jesus Christ? Who is this? Have you answered it for yourself? Who is Jesus Christ? And are you shaking and agitating the world with Jesus so that they ask, "Who is this?" Notice in verse 8, they were lowering down branches and taking their clothes and throwing them down, and they were crying out, "Hosanna." It was an incredible. Have you ever seen anything like that? If you were down in Lafayette during a parade, have you ever seen a man riding in on a donkey with people throwing their clothes before him on the ground in branches and crying out to him to save them? Have you ever seen anything like that? It's like a parade, kind of like a parade or a march, when someone important is coming to town, especially the buzz of a presidential candidate with the hope of change baited on our breaths. People that weren't anticipating this event, weren't expecting Jesus coming in or what was happening, they stop, they look out their windows. What's going on? Who is this? That's what would happen. That's what was happening. Who is this? And the answer in verse 11 is given by the multitudes. This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Beloved, you might say, "This is Jesus, my King. This is King Jesus. Will you kiss him?" Matthew so answers the question in our text, "Who is this?" by quoting Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. You see, Jesus is the prophesied Messiah sent to save his people. Look at verse 4. "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet." All this was done that it might be fulfilled. You see, when Jesus says, "Go out and get the donkey, bring the donkey back," and he rides on the donkey into Jerusalem, it's deliberate. He in himself is riding in on this donkey, fulfilling the prophecy. He's here. You see, the book of Zechariah is all about this coming kingdom. And it's happening right now in our text. Right now, the Son of David is riding into Jerusalem. "Behold, your King." The prophecy is being fulfilled before us. Let me read all of Zechariah 9, verse 9. Some of it's quoted in your text, but let me give you the whole verse in Zechariah. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Well, what is the context of Zechariah? What is the book of Zechariah about? It matters to have the full sense of what's going on here with the quote of verse 9, chapter 9. The book of Zechariah. "On behalf of the benevolent Persian King Cyrus, The first generation of Babylonian refugees were back in Jerusalem. And now it's during King Darius' day. Work rebuilding the temple had begun under Ezra the priest. But it had stopped. The work of building the temple, rebuilding the temple, had stopped. Because of threats by outside pagans and because of poor internal leadership, the work on the church has stopped. What is Zechariah's message to the church in his time from God? Build the temple. Get back to building the temple. For God will restore Zion, and he will do so ultimately through the Messiah King, who will enter one day on a donkey. The Jews knew this prophecy. And so when Jesus is riding in on a donkey, they rejoice. They know that he's identifying himself as the Son of David. So they call him the Son of David. They cry out hosannas to him, save us. They recognized their rescuer. Anyone who is oppressed rejoices greatly at the sight of their rescuer. Think of the modern Jews and concentration camps who saw the Allies break open their deathly prisons. They must have sobbed with joy at the sight of those who had come to save them. You who lament over your oppression in this dark world will rejoice at the sight of your coming Savior, who holds your souls in his sure, strong hands. Sadly, many of the Jews responding to Jesus in our story, as Jesus rides in on a donkey, sadly, they were only seeking an earthly kingdom. They were only seeking earthly solutions to temporal affairs. But Jesus came not to conquer temporal Roman oppression. Rather, he came to conquer Satan. He came to conquer the cosmic battle. He came to conquer the oppression of sin and death toward a heavenly Jerusalem. The heavenly Jerusalem that Zechariah has been pointing us to. You see, Jesus was a priest king. He's not just any king. He's a priest king. He brings in his kingdom in an unusual way, riding on a donkey. A few other scripture references from Zechariah that we're more familiar with, I think, referring to Jesus. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. You see, not only is he the priest king, he offers himself up as the sacrifice. Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. Thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch. From his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on the throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne. You hear that? A priest on his throne. You don't have priests on the throne in the Old Testament economy, but Jesus Christ is the priest who sits on his throne. And it says, the council of peace shall be between them both. And so Zechariah 9, verse 9, quoted in our text today, Jesus is riding on a donkey because he's now humble. He's the priest who will soon be offering up himself for his people to save them. To save them from more than simply Rome. To save them from death and the power and dominion of death because of sin. Earthly kings do not make such public entrances, do they? You don't see earthly kings riding in on a donkey. They do so in chariots and on horses, in military cavalcades, sometimes and a caravan of black limousines and SUVs, but not on a donkey. Try and imagine a newly elected president of the United States arriving to his inaugural address on a huffy bicycle. And it's ridiculous, right? You can't even imagine that. We'd probably be appalled by that. Our president? But your king, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, rides in to Jerusalem on a donkey. And this is good news for us. You see what he's communicating. One commentator says, the king's character will incorporate righteousness, humility, and power. His appearance will manifest God's grace and righteousness on earth. Waiting for this person who will embody so many desirable characteristics offers hope to the people. Do you need hope? Look at Jesus riding in on this donkey. The humble king to sacrifice himself. The priest who brings in his kingdom through humility. Jesus coming on a colt extended hope to many nations. But Jesus will make a final kingly procession before all the nations. First time on a donkey, not the next time. Please turn to Revelation chapter 19. I'd like to quote a text that's fairly long, so I'd like to give you the opportunity to look at it if you would choose to do that. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 to 16. I want to highlight how Jesus is going to come back the next time. We've seen the first time he comes as the humble high priest. How will he return? Will he come on a donkey again? Let's see, Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. And I want to highlight a few things as we go through. Now I saw heaven opened. Of course, remember, this is a vision. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. You see, this time Jesus is riding on a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. You see, he's the priest. He's now offered up himself. And his name is called the Word of God. What does John tell us? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Armies following this king. Notice this word, armies in heaven. I want to come back to that in a moment with another text we're going to look at. Armies in heaven are following this King Jesus with his second coming. Now, out of his mouth, out of the mouth of Christ, goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. Do you hear Psalm 2 there? He will rule with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is your king coming the next time. This is how he comes. You see, this Jesus who comes again, this Jesus who now sits at the right hand of God, making intercession for you, preparing a place in heaven, this Jesus is no baby who coos at us from a manger. He is the risen king who must be reconciled with now, in this season, on this day, while it's still called today, at this hour, he is this risen king who is conquering the nations by conquering the hearts of men and women. And he's coming back on a white horse to judge. Today is the day of salvation with our risen king. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Now remember, what do we notice usually when the angel of the Lord comes upon anyone? They are usually quite afraid. This is the power and the holiness. So the angel of the Lord came upon them, the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." The city of David is Jerusalem. The Savior, remember, Hosanna, save us. And the angel says, a Savior is born here today, which is Christ the Lord, the one who we see today riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Now that's what I want to come back to. The multitude praising God. Who are they? Remember in Revelation 19, we looked at the armies in heaven riding on their white horses behind the Word of God, behind Jesus Christ, the conquering King. It's the same army at the birth of our King. The hosts, the heavenly host, the powerful armies of God are there, praising God. They're not a bunch of chubby cherubim eating chocolates and floating around on the clouds. It's the army of God at Jesus' birth, proclaiming Him. And they say, don't be afraid. But they're backing Him up. God offers peace to men through Jesus with a heavenly army behind Him at His birth. And all who will not kiss the Son of God are subject, we know from Revelation, to His holy anger, and are therefore at war with this worshiping heavenly host that's coming back behind Him on white horses. The wicked are soon to be slain by the condemning tongue, the sword of the mouth of King Jesus, and He will bring them to their knees with a rod of iron. When one nation's military advances on another nation to conquer it, it does not go unnoticed. There's a palpable energy in such an advance, felt and heard with the rumbling of horses or bombers in the distance, seen in the rising dust clouds of marching forces on the horizon. When Jesus comes, He says He will come with a flash of lightning across the sky. No one will miss it. He will come riding on the clouds. He will come on the last day and all will see it. All will come before the King to be judged. So Psalm 2 calls us to bow before the conquering King Jesus now, while there's still time. Verses 10 through 12 of Psalm 2. Now therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry with you and you perish in the way. When His wrath is kindled but a little, but blessed, blessed are all those who put their trust in Him. Blessed are all those who cry out to Jesus, Hosanna, save us. Beloved, have you kissed King Jesus? Have you trusted in King Jesus to save you from the power of sin and death? Have you looked to Him on the cross and received His sacrifice to pay for your own sins? Have you believed on Him to be your righteousness before God? It's the only way you can approach this holy God. Through the King of Glory, who came in on a donkey. One last time, thinking about Zechariah as a whole to help us understand the fullness of this quote by Matthew. As we cry out to Jesus, the King of Glory, to save us from oppression. The first half of Zechariah, the Jews are looking at their father's past sin that had leveled their nation, sent them into exile. And now they're back dealing with the current threats of pagan oppression and poor shepherds within that have delayed the rebuilding of the temple. It stopped. But the second half of Zechariah promises a grand future for the church. Eternal restoration in the Messiah. This future restoration has begun in Jesus Christ. We see that in our text. The time of Zechariah, the day he's pointing us to, is now. And it will be consummated at his grand return before the nations. So as we think about Zechariah, think about how history books teach us who we are as a nation, who we were, who we are, and who we are becoming. That's what Zechariah helps us do. That's what Matthew is doing, quoting the text. And then, of course, later the temple, the physical temple, was destroyed in AD 70 because Christ had come. And the temple is spiritual, and it's now you. Christ has the same word for you as Zechariah did for the church in his day. Here's the word he has for you. Build my church. Build my church. Build it. And he says, I will establish it forever. I will establish you, the church, forever. You are the spiritual temple and the eternal kingdom that our Lord is building throughout the nations as he conquers the hearts of men, women, and children. And Satan and his henchmen cannot stop it. Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus says to Peter, the confessing apostle, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Is this good news? Is this good news when it doesn't look like it sometimes? The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Does your church surround Jesus with cries of hosannas that make the neighborhood take notice? Does your response to Jesus in Lafayette, Indiana, cause others to ask, who is this? Who is this? Who is this king that you serve? That they would be saved before it is too late. Verse 10, they cry out, as the others cry out, Hosanna, the city was moved. It was shaken. It was agitated. And the people said, who is this? Let us cry out. May you cry out. May how you serve Jesus, crying out hosannas, trusting in Jesus and spreading the gospel in Lafayette, use the words and be with the attitude of our psalmist in Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And Matthew tells us today that the King of glory is Jesus Christ Himself. The King of glory. First, riding in on a donkey. Our own Anthony Salvaggio, Reverend Anthony Salvaggio, in his book, The Prophets Speak of Him, says this about Zechariah. Zechariah is so important to remind ourselves of the fact that Jesus holds the future. Because Christians often become fearful of their future. Jesus holds our future, and through Him, we will overcome. What are you afraid of? What are you oppressed by? God's wrath? Hell? Death? A dark and dying world? What are you afraid of? The oppression of an ungodly government? Suffering? Reaching out to the community and facing opposition? What are you afraid of? Family and church strife? The lack of change? Change? What are you afraid of? Do you feel oppressed? by the world, by your life, by your sin, by your circumstances. Cry out to Jesus Christ, the King of glory, your King, to save you from all oppression, for He does. And the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Let's pray. Almighty God in heaven, we thank You so much for this promise, for sharing this story with us, to record it that way you may have such confidence in knowing that Jesus Christ is the priest king who offers up Himself, that's how He conquers death and sin. He is so humble in the manger. He rides in humbly on a donkey, and most of the world misses it. But You have given us eyes of faith to see it and to cry out indeed, Hosanna to the Son of David, to be saved from the oppression of our sin, which is terrible in Your eyes, to save us from Your wrath, to save us from the world. We will be saved from this present wicked world. And You are conquering all the nations now before our eyes. May we indeed cry out, who is this King of glory? May we bring others to ask, who is this? And tell them about Jesus Christ the King. And encourage them, implore them to bow before Him and kiss Him, that He not be angry with them, that they may not die. And give them the good news that those who trust in King Jesus are blessed. Blessed with the promise of salvation and eternity with our God face to face. Father, thank You for encouraging us with Your word, and may it make us bold with the gospel, and may it encourage us in our dark moments of depression and anxiety to know that Jesus Christ indeed is rescuing us from everything. Nothing will hold us down forever. We will be raised up in glory with You, where You will be glorified for all eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we'll be singing together now Psalm 24a. As you turn to that, I just want to draw to your attention what we've just considered. On the second page in your Psalter, Psalm 24a, the second line, "Oh, who is the King that in glory draws near? The Lord mighty, Lord of the battle is here. O gates, lift your heads, ancient doors, lift them high. The great King of glory to enter draws nigh. This great King of glory, oh, who can be? Who can He be? The Lord God of hosts, King of glory is He." And again, we know that this King of glory is Jesus Christ. Let's praise Him as we sing together.
Thank you. be is our doxology. Now receive His blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.